In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The crowd sing a beautiful song as the Son of David rides into the holy city to claim his throne. A colt bears him. Humility, weakness, and poverty defines him. The eye sees no beauty or majesty in him. Nothing in his appearance that screams out, King. For his kingdom is not of this world. Yet the crowds cry out, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Palms fill the air. Garments decorate the ground. He is their king, the Son of David, sent by God to rule on David's throne forever and ever. By their cry, they urge him forward on that beast of burden to do what God has sent him to do. Hosanna means Lord, save. Save them by his cross. Save them by his passion. Save them by his death. Save them by pouring out his blood to atone for their sins. The cords of death entangled them. The torrents of destruction assailed them. They are held captive in their own country, not by the Romans, but by sin, death, and the devil. And here comes their Messiah, the Son of David, sent by God in the very name of the Lord to carry out the work of redemption, to redeem them, to reconcile, and to restore what God had given to them. The battle is not yet over, and yet they sing as if it is already completed. The victory is not yet won, but they sing their songs of triumph anyways. Most probably are looking for the restoration of a physical kingdom along the lines of King David and Solomon, where all the nations around them were subdued underneath Israel, when silver was so plentiful that it was worthless, when the temple was built and the psalms were sung, when the nations looked to Israel and the God of Jacob as the Lord. These people longed for the kingdom of God, and they saw Jesus as the bringer of that kingdom. But when he doesn't flex his omnipotence in the way that they thought, they are quick to cry out, Crucify. Instead of shaking our heads at their lack of understanding, perhaps we should ask ourselves if we fully understand what Christ has come to do. We don't wave palm branches or lay down our garments, but we sing the same song week after week in the divine service. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, we cry. Do we understand what we are saying? Remember the time in which you live. The Lord is near. He is coming soon, not at Christmas. For Christmas was a one-time historical event that occurred at one specific location, namely Bethlehem. It will never be repeated again. But the Lord is coming on the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. So you are waiting for him not to come in a manger, but you are waiting for him to come on those clouds, to put an end to all divisions in the church, to cast the devil underneath his feet, and to toss his followers into hell, and to vindicate his people. On that last day, Christ will not become king, but he will be revealed as the king. For Christ already rules today. He rules over heaven and earth for the good of his church. So he moves the weather as he wills. He raises up nations and brings them down as he wills. He orders even the minutiae of your life to lead you to repentance and faith in his eternal reign, in his forgiveness, and in his providence. He rules all for your good right now. For his supper stands as a testimony that what he promised, he has accomplished. It is finished. The tomb is empty. All is fulfilled by Christ, all accomplished in him, and so all is given through him. And yet we bury our heads in decorations, cookies, gift buying, and snacks. He comes to deliver us from every evil, and we worry if people will enjoy our Christmas decorations and party. He comes to set us free from sin, death, and hell, and we're occupied with tomorrow's finances, tomorrow's economy, and tomorrow's politics. He comes to give us a real and a lasting joy. And we look to escape this reality in myths, nostalgia, and food. Why are we so desperate to leave the reality that Jesus rules all things for our good? Why do we seek to dull our senses to the fact that Jesus Christ is King of heaven and earth? Like the crowds, we sing the very same song, and yet we have wondered how much longer this service will last. Hosannas fill our lips. We gaze at our watches, wondering when it will be over. We are more like the crowds, I think, than we realize. We forget that he rode on a donkey, a humble beast of burden, to be our sacrifice. We forget that he comes in humility, in humble bread, to give us that body once sacrificed. The king rules right now over heaven and earth, but he does so in humility. We do not see his glory. We do not see his power. And so on that Good Friday, the crowds turned against him because they did not see. They only heard him speaking. Would we do the same because we do not see? God forbid. Again, we must remember the hour in which we live. The Lord is near. His power and might is not seen on white stallions or golden saddles, but in a beast of burden carrying him to Calvary to atone for sin. The sacrifice is bound to the horns of the altar with nails to establish the kingdom that God promised to David forever and ever. He carries out the will of God, which is your salvation and the restoration of all things. Yes, he comes to restore all things, not just man. For forgiveness brings the restoration of all creation. Forgiveness lets the wolf lie down with the lamb and the leopard with the young goat. Forgiveness lets the young child lead the calf and the lion. Forgiveness lets the nursing child play over the hole of the cobra. Forgiveness changes creation, and it changes your body. With sin gone, your body, your soul, your mind, your strength, your heart, even your emotions are all given back to you so that you might flourish right now in the kingdom of God. Yes, you are flourishing right now, for that kingdom is not seen with the eyes, but it is seen, heard with the ears. It is received in faith. So right now, you are flourishing in the kingdom of God, regardless of where you find yourself in your life. For the King reigns over you. The supper is proof that he is ruling, for nothing stops him from his mission. He has heard your prayers. He has heard your hosannas. Whether you fully understand what you are saying or not, he has heard. And he comes to order your life under his kingdom of grace. You just prayed, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come." And he responds, "This is my body, this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." Though you do not see him, he is not a weak king, but he shuts the gates of hell. He crushes Satan under your feet, and he gives you back this world. He is a king who rules over all things for your good, so that you might be prepared, not primarily for Christmas, so that you might be prepared for his return in judgment. And that may mean that you need a less than ideal Christmas, perhaps one filled with loneliness, suffering, or trouble. That may mean that you need the loss of your independence. That may mean that you need cancer or some other trouble. For his kingdom is not of this world, so we should not expect him to give us the gold, the silver, the peace, the success, the ease, or the status of this world. He rides in humility, and his people live in humility, by faith, not by sight. He rides on a piece of bread to rule over your life. He has not forgotten you, and he will not jump all over you when you forget what you are singing, when you check your watch, or when your mind wanders. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. His return is far more close than Christmas. The King will come not in humility, but then he will come in glory, and your eyes will see, and your ears will hear the angels, and the dead will be raised. But that is all yet to come. Right now, he still comes in weakness and humility, in bread and in wine, to prepare you for that last great arrival. So wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.